Well, I'm very excited about today's talk because it's all about having victory over fear through faith. And it's titled, Live in Faith and Not in Fear. And that's not to say that if you're a faith-filled person that you don't feel fear sometimes, or if you're afraid in your life, you're not faith-filled. I think everybody can honestly say that they have felt fear sometime in their life. It's a natural human thing to feel. And fear builds up something in us where we try to avoid things. We don't want to do things because we feel the fear, and if we just run away from it and hide away from it, we don't have to do it. Now, if I can draw from some things from the Old Testament, some real heroes from the Old Testament, just to sort of build that up to say it's okay to be afraid. Moses was scared in Exodus when God asked him to speak. He was really frightened. And even when God said, I will help you, I'll give you the words to say, he still didn't want to speak. And then in Judges, Gideon is hiding from his enemies, hiding, fearful, absolutely petrified from his enemies. And God comes and calls him a warrior, a mighty warrior at that. And he couldn't see it, but God could see that in him. So I think when God says things like this over and over again, do not fear, he's not telling us off. It's an invitation to us to partner with him and have victory over fear. So I'm going to encourage you today to learn from what we're going to talk about today, but also to encourage you to start taking steps, maybe in a place that you have been avoiding. And as Colin quite rightly says, I just want to say this, he's kinder than you think. I wasn't here last week, but I did listen to his talk and it was amazing. So we're going to explore scripture, Matthew 14:22-36, or Mark 6:52 in both of those gospels. Both Matthew and Mark talk about Jesus going out onto the water to his disciples in the middle of the storm. And Peter takes an amazing act of faith. Now, I'm going to share with you, after we've looked at this clip that I'm going to show, and then we're going to talk about it, I'm going to share with you sometimes when I've actually taken steps of faith, and I can't believe I actually did it, but it was God that helped me through all of that. And then we're going to have a time of response to allow Holy Spirit to talk into areas of our lives. And I just pray that it be a blessed time for all of us here today. Now, before I show this clip, I just want, it's actually from the film Son of God. And it's based around this story that Matthew and Mark tell us about Jesus going out onto the waters to his disciples. Now, just before this, Jesus had performed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. I don't know about you, I'd be pretty impressed. But the disciples, and as Colin said last week, didn't really get it. They didn't understand who Jesus was. And in Mark 6:52, it actually says their hearts were hardened. And even though they'd seen him perform many miracles, they still didn't get it. So just after that, Jesus sends them out onto the waters, and he was going to meet them at the other side. And he goes up to pray. And in Mark, it says that he could see his disciples struggling in the storm from where he was. And this is where we pick up the story from this clip here. Wow, that was quite dramatic, wasn't it? I looked at a couple of clips online, and this was the one that struck me the most, because the others seemed quite sedentary, where Jesus was walking out on very calm waters, and, you know, and I just thought, no, this really reflects. And it's not word for word what the Bible says. This is, as you know, an artist's impression of that. But what I like about this is the drama that's all revolving around it. It's so well portrayed. And we see quite a lot in the Bible where Jesus is calming the situation, and Jesus has calmed the storm before that. But when he goes out to those disciples, he doesn't calm the storm. He reaches out to them through the storm. And the storm is really a reflection of what's going on in their hearts. They have doubt, they have fear, they don't know who Jesus is, they don't know what they're doing on the waters there. Why has he sent them out? And they're doubting the man that they're actually following. And so this is reflected in the storm that's going on around them. And Jesus wants to come out to them in their storm. He could stop it and he could calm the waters, but he doesn't. And I think this is a message to us as well, that sometimes we pray for our storms to stop. We pray for God to just take away the situation and make it better. And what he wants to do is meet us in that situation, meet us in whatever storm it is, so that we can fight that, and it strengthens our faith. It makes us stronger Christians because we've weathered the storm and we know that we can do it. I know I sound a bit like a politician now, don't I? Anyway, so I think it's important to know that, and Kerry said this in a talk that she did just recently about faith, that faith is a muscle. It needs to be flexed and it needs to be strengthened. And as we use our faith and we put our faith in God, we become stronger and we know that he's there to help us through. Now, just going back to the story, I'm going to read, because it's important to take directly from the Bible. I'm just going to read from 14:28. And Peter answers him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And Peter came down out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And then they got into the boat. The wind ceased. And those that were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So the storm had calmed and they'd realized just who Jesus was. That wonderful moment where there was that light bulb go in every single disciple's head. They knew he was. I think that's really special. But what I also think is special through this is that Jesus, this wonderful relationship between Jesus and Peter, Peter's just so drawn to Jesus, though none of the other disciples asked to go out to the water to him. And it must have been very, very scary, because I know I'm a confident swimmer. There is no way I would have tried to do that, because if you're in stormy waters, the waters can just overwhelm you and you're drowning within no time at all. So it was such a brave move and a step of faith of him. And it's only when he looked at the wind and let his heart feel fear that he started to sink. Now, Jesus at that point could have also have taken control of the situation and could have said, "You know what? I'm not even going to let you sink. I'm in control here." But no, he allowed for Peter to sink a bit, because he knew that Peter had to learn that was through the faith that he had in Jesus that he was going to get the strength. That it wasn't just Jesus taking control of the situation. It was them working together in partnership. So I think that was a big lesson. But when he cried out to Jesus, Jesus was there in a split second to grab him out. He wouldn't desert him. He wouldn't leave him to drown. He's always there when you cry out to him. And I can tell you this, Jesus is a very powerful word indeed. If we're in trouble, he's there. He's there for us. And so they get back into the boat and the disciples worship him, because finally it's dawned on them who Jesus is. Now, I think it's an amazing step of faith, but I've had to take steps of faith as well in my life. Not that God has forced me to, it's just I felt completely compelled to. When I was asked to do Lighthouse some time ago, to lead the lighthouse craft tent. I hadn't set foot in the proper lighthouse area. I had helped in Rock Cafe, and people know what Rock Cafe is. It's a place where people go to have a cup of tea and be prayed for. You're not in the main lighthouse tent with all the kids. And when I got asked this, I said yes straight away. And then it dawned on me the enormity of the task. I thought it might be a little bit like messy church, perhaps a few more kids, you know. It's basically messy church multiplied by 10. And when that dawned on me, fear struck me. And I thought, well, I've already said yes now. And then I met up with my predecessor, and she told me all about it in great detail, and the fear was really striking. Because she told me stuff, but she told me way too much about children with allergies and what could happen and what could go wrong. Oh, my goodness me. Anyway, I came back from that, and I properly prayed and fervently prayed to God, because I knew that I couldn't do this without him. And one of the things that I had to do, I've got my little lighthouse whistle here, in case anyone's fallen asleep. This is the tool that I use in the lighthouse tent. Now, I say a tent, but it's really a marquee. It's a massive, massive structure. And I had to get up onto this little step ladder. You can imagine little old me talking to 70 kids. And that's not, then you've got the people that are leading and helping and everything else. And I've got to give them instruction. I was told by my lovely German friend, who does everything by the book. I know that sounds a bit stereotypical, but I do love her to bits. And she told me exactly what it is I needed to say. I got up, and half of that went out the window. I forgot to do the health and safety bit. And then when I was talking about Noah and the whale, which was I was just supposed to give a very light synopsis, I went on and on and on about Noah and the whale. And by then, the kids had lost interest, and the helpers had lost the will to live. And by then, and so I got down from there, and I thought, that was absolute rubbish. That was the most rubbish talk and the most... How can I have done that? I was giving myself a bit of a hard time. Now, there's two choices at that point. I could have handed it right over to my German friend and said, you know what, you're great at this. Why don't you take over from now on? I will set up the tasks and do all of that. You do all the talking, because I really can't do it. Or I could really dig deep, and that's what I did. I said to the Lord, I know you shouldn't make deals with the Lord, but I did say, right, if I can get this right by the end of today, because I've got to do four more talks, then that's it. If I can't, then, you know, I really give up, you know. So I did. I got up the second time, did a bit better. You know, I seemed to be getting people's attention. They seem interested. Good. Then by the fifth time, I was a pro. I got up there really relaxed, started having a bit of banter with people, you know, and I was really enjoying it. I thought, had I have not taken those steps and decided that I was going to partner with God and we were going to do this together, I would have given in to it and I would have avoided it and I would have allowed somebody else to take that place. And I'm so glad that I didn't. So I think it's really about us challenging and God challenging us too, but us challenging ourselves to put us in a place that might not feel ever so comfortable for us. And that uncomfortableness sometimes brings on a bit of chaos. And another experience that I had in the craft tent was during the time that I was there, I found these lovely butterflies and I wanted to decorate the tent because I wanted to make it look all pretty and nice. So I got these butterflies and I put them, they were on wires, and I put them all over the tent and sort of in the areas where there were ropes that were sort of holding the tent together. And I didn't realize that I might have to open the tent up at some time, which means I would have to get rid of these lovely butterflies. So the day came when it was very, very hot. Everyone was getting a bit sweaty. And a lady came up to me, you need to open the tent. Oh, right. Okay, how do I do that? You need to, those ropes that have got the butterflies on, you need to take that all off. Oh, great, okay. So I took the ropes down, took the butterflies off, looked round. Is that okay? Yeah, that's fine. A few minutes later, there was this wind that came across and everything on the tables that were nearby all blew onto the floor. So chaos ensuing. Right, you need to close the tent. Oh, close the tent. Okay. So I'm there messing about with the tent. I felt like Ellen MacArthur, you know, trying to batten down the hatches. And then somebody else comes up to me and asks me, you're supposed to be over there with the kids? And there's this other element to Lighthouse, which is, you know, sort of rewarding and praising the kids. It's a really good thing. And we have this wall of fame. And when the kids are good, they come up to me with their name on a sticker and you stick it up on this wall and then I have to praise them and say how fantastic they are. Well, by now, there's a small orderly line with kids that I haven't dealt with yet. Time's running out. I'm trying to mess about with the tent. Somebody else comes up to me and asks me a really stupid question about where's the glue? You should know that already. And what I started to feel then was a little bit out of a character out of Fawlty Towers. Now, if anyone's seen Fawlty Towers, it's John Cleese plays Basil Fawlty, and he is a really grumpy hotel owner that loses it with just about everybody. And that's what I was feeling like then. What? I'm being really sharp with people. I thought, this isn't very Christian at all, is it? Getting angry with all these people. And it's not like me at all. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm a very patient person. You really have to push me to the brink. And so all the children went out from that session. We eventually got everything together and it was okay. But I really had to. I thought, right, I'm going to have a word with God now. This is not on. I can't go on like this. God, you've got to come in. Bring some peace into my heart. I need the fruits of the Spirit now. I was really desperate. Anyway, so the next lot of children came in and it was as calm as anything. I can tell you, prayer really works. And I don't know why we're surprised when it does. You know, everything seems so calm. People were doing their job. Nobody was asking me too many questions. And I was able to do what I really love doing. And that's interacting with the kids, asking them how they are, asking them what they're doing. And as I'm interacting with this little girl, she pointed up into the air and there was a butterfly flying around the tent, which, okay, we're outside, it's not too unusual, but I haven't seen anything like it before or since. It just felt like God was just saying, I'm here. I'm supporting you. I'm for you. There's no need to worry or be afraid. And I felt like time, and I don't know if anyone's felt this before, just stood still. For that split second, it was just me, this little girl, and the butterfly. It was so exquisite, it has been tattooed on my mind. It was such a beautiful moment. And I just thought, you know what, it's all worth it just for that. That was just amazing. So I felt strengthened by those little nuggets that God gives you along. We're talking about honey and honey being tasty and good. Taste that it is good. It is good. So I think we need to look at strengthening our faith in the knowledge that God is there, but also noticing those little nuggets. Don't let them go by. Notice when God is really holding you. I think moving out of your comfort zone, it can feel so uncomfortable. It can really press you emotionally, mentally. And you have to deal with things in a way that you might not be used to dealing with things in. You know, it'll be different. It will look different. And that can be scary. But it won't destroy you. Because you know that Jesus is there to help you through it. Now, I'm going to put us into a little time. Oh, actually, I just want to show you this first. This is a prototype for one of the activities that we're doing, one of the crafts we're doing. And it says, for people that are listening, keep calm and trust Jesus. And it's a little weather wheel, turns around. And what I'm showing the children is, no matter what the weather, you can trust in Jesus. So hanging. So they're going to take that home and it's going to be in whoever's home it is. It might not be a Christian person. And you know what? I hope that's going to sort of feed something into their family and into their hearts. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask for a little time of reflection. I think we need to allow Holy Spirit to speak to us into our lives. And we need to into this new season. I feel it's quite exciting myself for River. I feel excited for the future. I think we're in a season where there's going to be lots of fruit. But we have to be in a position to hear from God and to hear from Holy Spirit. So if you want to just close your eyes, if you feel comfortable doing so. I feel God is going to be doing something different in your life. But to do that, he needs to break down barriers, bring down some walls maybe, expand you in a social, a spiritual, maybe a graphic, territorial boundaries, all around that. If your fear is keeping you from pursuing God, I pray that today you take that first step. That first step onto those waters, knowing that he's there, always holding you, protecting you, comforting you. I just pray for you in whatever storm you may be in. It might be something family related, where people are falling out and it doesn't look like that anybody's going to get along. I just pray that there be a time when people find forgiveness and understanding. And I pray for the sphere of work. If there's issues in your workplace where their finances might be low or provision, I pray that you can draw from God's bank account, that he's always there and he's generous, a God to give. And I pray for anything else that's going on in your life where you feel like you're restricted through fear. Fear may have become a major presence in your life as far as allowing you to do things, you know, a lack of freedom. I pray for freedom, power, grace, anointing in a totally new and awesome way. I pray that in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.